This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. Scott Simon is away. I'm Jackie Lydon. We turn now to an increasingly urgent situation in the Indian Ocean and Southeast Asia. More than 120,000 people are now believed to have been killed in last weekend's deadly earthquake and tsunami in the region. That number will likely increase in the hours and days ahead. Those who survived the tsunamis that overpowered at least six nations are now in danger of succumbing to the deadly aftermath of the disaster. It is raining in Sumatra, the Indonesian island closest to the epicenter of last weekend's earthquake. In Sri Lanka, flash floods have sent many to scramble yet again for higher ground, and aftershocks are rumbling through the region. Health workers fear that heavy rains will promote cholera and diarrhea among people who have already depleted much of their energies to survive the past 6 days. The area hardest hit so far has been the Aceh province on the Indonesian island of Sumatra. There, authorities say, more than 80,000 people have died, and that number, they say, is likely to grow substantially. NPR's Michael Sullivan is in the provincial capital, Banda Aceh.
The first call to prayer of the new year in a rainy Banda Aceh, where the people have little to celebrate and much to pray for. It's been 6 days now since the quake and tsunami devastated the city and many more isolated towns and villages on the western coast. The tsunami has deposited a 50-foot fishing boat on a bridge in the center of the city, nearly a mile from shore. Dozens of boats clog the river beneath, and over 100 bloated bodies bunched together in the water, pressing against the bridge supports. From here, it's easy to see vast areas of the city completely flattened by the tsunami, not a single building left standing. Yet volunteers here are loading a boat with supplies, preparing to take them south to a town that's fared even worse.
Jalur transportasi sekarang belum bisa ditembus, jadi kita harus melalui laut atau melalui.
This volunteer says they are carrying food, medicine, and gas, all in short supply. They're bound for the town of Chalang, 40 miles south. 5,000 people used to live there before the quake, he says. Now there are fewer than 1,000. The military hospital in Banda Aceh is overcrowded, understaffed, but in far better condition now, says this American volunteer, Ira Lipke, than it was 3 days ago.
When I got here, there was all kinds of people that had huge gaping wounds all over their bodies, and they haven't been treated at all, like 3 days after. There's countless people that I've seen that I think their lives could have been saved if they would have had proper medical attention sooner.
The man in charge, Sahat Edison Sidharoon, says he's now okay on supplies, but still short on staff.
All the nurses in Aceh try to find their family, or they are also victims in this disaster. Most of them are victims, and the others try to find their relative.
And the victims keep coming. Nearly 100 people have come here and died here in the past 2 days. And the hospital administrator says they are just the tip of the iceberg. Outside the hospital entrance, a relief helicopter flies overhead as a crowd surveys the admission list posted on a board, hoping to find the name of a missing loved one. This schoolteacher, Muklis, says his daughter is here and alive, but he's having trouble finding her. And other family members weren't so fortunate.
There was no information, but my father, my mother, and my brothers. There is no village anymore. There is no house, no. Just one mosque.
Just one mosque.
Mosque.
Only
yeah.
The mosque.
Only the mosque. Yeah, standing.
Muklis says he's finding it difficult to sleep. He is worried what happened on Sunday could happen again. So he and the rest of his family and his neighbor's family too are now sleeping huddled together, all 10 of them, in Muklis's home, to hold on to each other, he says, and to comfort each other. Michael Sullivan, NPR News, Banda Aceh.